Well, Father, thank you again for allowing this avenue for us to get together and fellowship. Praise you, Lord. Give these testimonies that you've given us. And we just want to glorify you, Lord, in our life. We just want to be you in us. And Father, we just thank you for the love you placed in our hearts for each other and the world, the people in the world. And Lord, we just thank you for the great things that are fixing to happen for your people. I know there's going to be a lot of devastation out there, but I know there's also going to be a lot of anointing, and it's going to be a good time with you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given every one of us the wherewithal to be just like you, Lord. We're walking right in your footsteps. And we thank you, Father, for giving us that word to learn how to do that. And the people around us that help us out, Lord, with the revelations. They get revelations. We all get revelations. We tie them together. We all learn something. Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here, Lord. We're truly brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes I often reflect on how much my Christian brothers and sisters are more like a brother and a sister than my own natural family. And I thank you for that, Father, because I see true love. Love that's Jesus' love. That's God's love. And Lord, I just praise you for surrounding each one of us with people like that, that we can call on when we need help. Not only that, we can depend upon their prayers when we're in need. And Lord, I thank you for this friendship you've developed, this brother and sisterly love that you developed between us, Lord. And I thank you so much for it in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us tonight. Anoint us all to do whatever it is that you want us to do. And let this be a good time for you, Lord, and us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Angeline, your audio is kind of bad, but I believe we can
understand. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Better.
Let me fix it. Hold on.
Is this better?
Oh, much better.
Yeah, I had my wireless earphones on, but yeah, probably better without it.
Okay.
But so. I guess, well, first I probably should, confess sin. Like, lately I've just been so, I feel, so irritable. And, thoughts towards people haven't always been positive. And it's because I'm frustrated because of, condemnation, dealing with, our daughter Zoe and things that she goes through. And, if I'm not making all the right choices, kind of is a cycle where I'll feel condemnation. And then that causes me to be frustrated at everyone and everybody. So I usually, when I'm not walking in condemnation, I am not like that, not as much like that, or I do my, I'm able to walk in not being offended and things like that. But when I feel condemnation or I'm rejected because I did something not right, then I kind of get irritated a lot with people easily, or just things would offend me and stuff. And Zoe has had a fever for a week. It won't break, and I don't know what's causing it. So I've just been so overwhelmed. And then I felt condemnation because I gave her Motrin, and I didn't want to do that. I was trying to stand on faith, but she was so hot she could barely move. It was just became a lot.
Okay. How old is your daughter?
How old is she?
Yeah.
About two.
About two?
She's two.
Oh, okay, two. All right.
Yeah.
Is Okay, has the fever broke on her?
I'm sorry?
Has the fever broken on her?
No. Okay. I've had to give her Motrin repeatedly for the past couple days, but it's been like a week.
Okay, we're going to pray, but first thing I want to do is ask you, do you have any unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone?
I have had. That's why I'm confessing that. I hate it. Like, at times I do try to reject it and it tries to come back in. It is a battle. It's not something I justify ever.
Yeah.
You know, if it tries to creep in, but I battle it. But sometimes if I feel overwhelmed because of the baby, it's easier for those things to come in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but you've confessed it here recently, right? Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm confessing that. Yeah, I have had it, yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift up. What's your daughter's name?
Zoe.
Oh, okay. And we just prayed for her. Yeah, I think so. Okay.
I'm sorry. Say it again. I'm sorry.
Y'all having trouble hearing me?
I hear you now, like in and out. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. My microphone was out of the way. It wasn't okay. Anymore. Well, Father, we just lift up Joey to you. Is it Josie?
Zoe.
Zoe.
Remember the baby that was born with the cleft lip? Yeah.
Yeah, Zoe. Yeah. Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Angeline to you. Lord, you've already forgiven her. She's already confessed her sin. She's not under the curse anymore. And Father, we thank you for clearing her up, delivering her, and setting her free in the name of Jesus. We command that spirit of condemnation, of fear, of irritation, anger, to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. You go in the name of Jesus. We command it by the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go from her and don't come back in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you're going to put in Angeline a rest, your peace, to understand that you're the one in control here, not her, not her husband, no one else but you, Lord, and that you've got Zoe in your hand. Now, we come against that fever on Zoe. We command it to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. No more. We command her body temperature to be normal in the name of Jesus. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. We command that body to start cooling off right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that she won't have to use anything but you, Lord, from this point on. And we depend on you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Because your word says it, we believe it. And because your word says it, we're going to stand on it. Because by his stripes, she was already healed 2,000 years ago. And we praise you, Father, that Zoe is healed, delivered, and set free. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for the anointing you're putting on Angeline and her husband, Caleb, to believe what your word says. And we thank you for it. Father, your word says this in Mark 11:24. That when you pray and you believe what you pray, you're going to have it. Well, we pray and we believe and we're going to have it in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that this family is going to trust you implicitly. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you right now for little Zoe in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Oh, Lord, I just ask and I pray that you fill up Zoe's mom and dad right now in the name of Jesus with your spirit, with your overcoming, powerful spirit, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Y'all believe that?
Yes, amen. Thank you.
Amen. I do too. I believe we got something there. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Okay, Angeline. What else? That's done.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's it. Okay. I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. I'll be praying in the spirit. both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, did you have your hand raised?
Yeah, I did for a little bit, but Marilyn and Pat are in there too, so I do mine. Yes, I'm on. So right before we moved out here in November, we prayed for my sister. She was battling with some breast cancer issues, and she's not very far into faith and stuff like that, but we prayed for her, and I talked to her at length the other day. The doctors are very happy with her progress. Of course, you see in the doctors and stuff, but the tumors that they detected are not detectable anymore. And
praise God.
Yeah, and at the same time, we prayed for her husband who was having really bad sciatica. His name's Kevin, and he wasn't able to stand. He wasn't able to sit. He wasn't able to sleep, and that has gone away. And all that is healed, so I think we get the credit for that. So I wanted to share those praise reports. And then
amen.
She asked if we could pray for her again on a couple more issues now.
Well, sure.
You know, that's what we do here. Kevin is now having, he had heart surgery, and he's having shortness of breath. So lift up Kevin to you, Lord, that you take care of the shortness of breath and keep him around long enough to truly be saved. He's not exactly a picture of health, but I know you got a plan for him. It made a lot of mess in the last 2 years, so just pray that you'd cure all the symptoms, and he's got no heart issues, Lord, and by Jesus' stripes, he's been healed. And then a sister asked also that we pray for her and her dealings with the insurance companies. She said that it's a religious-based insurance company, and they're giving her the runaround and saying they're changing stuff. So just give her favor with the insurance companies, Lord, that they would take care of her bills and everybody else's, and they wouldn't be give religion or God's people a bad name in the way they're handling business, and get her things straightened around so that all her bills get paid. And, I know you can do that, Lord, so we just ask you for that. And then I've been trying to convince her that being her tumor is gone, that she doesn't need to go through with the surgery. And so I need you all to join me in faith there that she'll give that a second thought. She's got 2 weeks to consider this, and she's got surgery scheduled, but I said, you're healed already. You know, that's gone. You don't need to go in and be cut on it. I don't know if she was listening or not. I don't think she was. But anyways, Lord, you can make a way. Let her reconsider. Do what's best for her. But, you know, it's important to use faith and build her faith, Lord, that she wouldn't need to do that. So we thank you for that, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we're looking for a glorious testimony here. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We're believing with Tim. We're hooking our faith up with him, and we believe that she's not going to have to go through that surgery again. Lord, we just ask that you open up her spiritual eyes and her spiritual ears to hear what the Word of God says instead of what them doctors say. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Leah.
I just wanted to say to Evangeline, I don't know about Motrin, but some of those pain relievers you can't give to kids 2 years old. I don't know if you checked the label on that, but you should do that before you give them that stuff. Some of them are pretty caustic.
Oh, yeah. No, the one, it's a children's one, and it actually, for her age and her weight,
okay.
It is... Yeah, it's okay. I'd rather not anyway, to be honest.
Right.
But yeah, it's for her age and stuff.
Yeah. Amen. Well, she's healed in Jesus' name. All right. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
I don't know if this is a thus saith the Lord. but I'm going to speak it anyway. And I'd like to pray for you, Michael. And if anybody else gets a witness about this, but I was wondering about your black eye. It really came to me, if that's like a play on words, you know, in the spirit, the enemy trying to give you a black eye. And if that's an attack against you, or an attack, plan for an attack against you. Anyway, if it is, that came to me really strong here a few minutes ago. I'd like to pray for you, Michael.
Well, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, Father, if I only want to hear from you. I only want to be led of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to speak or pray anything else. But we have the authority to cast these things down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I believe you do give us warnings. You give us warnings in dreams. You can give us warnings through the word. You can give us, you're not limited, Father. And Father, we are so thankful that Jesus is our Redeemer. We're redeemed from all the power and the curse of sin and death. And that through faith in Christ Jesus, we are delivered from all the power of darkness. We are delivered from every evil work and every evil assignment of the enemy. And I just come against any assignments that might be coming against Michael, or any plans of the enemy, any witchcraft, any spirits of gossip, slander, criticism, judgment, backbiting, fault-finding. Wherever this is coming from, I tell it has to go in Jesus' name. And I command it to go back on the heads of those that are thinking or speaking or spreading this. I just command it to go in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you and praise you that for the work that Brother Michael does in the ministry. He's been a blessing to me personally and a blessing to everybody here. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless him for being a blessing. And we know and trust and believe, Lord, that he's protected. He's covered with the blood of Jesus. You have your angels surrounding him, driving the darkness out of him and away from him. And all of us here, Lord, we stand in unity of faith for our brother. We stand in the gap and believe, Lord, that if there is whatever this is or was or planned, that it's not going anywhere. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. We just command any curses, word curses, thought curses, to fall to the ground in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I receive that. And I thank you, Father, that your angels are on the job in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for casting all those things down. Well, you know, that hadn't occurred to me, Marilyn, but once you said it, I knew it was true, because there's some things going on, not here locally, but back in, you know, where I came from. So I think
that black eye thing, what was that about?
It's not there? See there, see what you started.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to show this one more time, and that's it, Dave. So you better get you a good look, buddy.
All right.
That's it. That's all you get.
Did you wake up with it or what?
Yeah, I did. I woke up with it. I don't know. I went to bed not having one, and I woke up with it the next morning. I don't have a clue what happened, you know. But it may have been a spiritual thing like Marilyn was talking about, because certain things have gone on. Just today, as a matter of fact, that when she said that, I said, oh, there it is. So,
yeah, let's pray up. That's good. We can always cover that.
Amen.
Amen.
It's done. Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, we pray that if it's witchcraft from Kevin or any of the factions,
amen,
we rebuke that in the name of Jesus and cast that down. That cannot come here. That can't come to Michael anymore. It can't come to any of us, Lord. That's cast down, and it's null and void. We do not accept any witchcraft or any curses at all. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus, we Lord, you ask to dispatch angels now for protection.
Yes, Lord.
Put them around and don't allow anything evil come our way.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
I could use a little prayer, refreshing, you know. So, and well, I'm glad you brought that up, Leon, about Kevin, because I looked at my, I never visited really, but I thought, well, you know, I guess the other day, visit this LinkedIn is the name. LinkedIn is the name. It's like a, you know, social network for careers and stuff like that. And I thought I'd go on there and just see, look, and I saw Kevin, a Kevin R, you know. Kevin, so the closest name, I think he looked at my page about 2 months ago, so I just blocked it. I thought, if that's who I think it is, I don't want nothing to do with that guy, and I blocked it. I thought, I mean, he don't know me personally, but I thought, what's going on there? So I'm kind of glad you brought that up. But yeah, I could use a refreshing myself. I get back on track, so if you want to pray for me.
Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against any kind of witchcraft against Joe, and we count it down, and we cast it down as null and void in the name of Jesus. That everything that they try to cast on Joe, it goes right back where it came from.
Yes, God.
They're not going to be able to. They're going to learn not to do that to God's people. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that he is free. And Lord, we just ask that you put peace in his heart and rest in his heart. Lord, that just to rest in you, Lord, because you're in control. Everything that happens around us is because you've ordained it for one reason. That's to mature us and get us in that patient mode, the one that we don't care much about. But, Father, we know that you're working that patience out in all of us. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, bud. Oh, by the way, Joe, you left some stuff here. You can put it in a couple of calling cards and a bank statement. we've already gotten the money out, so there's no need in sending that back to you. So,
what?
No, really, you did. You left your bank account number here. And a couple of calling cards, a couple of business cards.
That explains why I could get up on my rent here and there.
Well, send me your address, and I'll put it in an envelope and send it to you. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Joe comes up and visits with us about every pot blessing. So. Anybody else? Hi, Malcolm.
I guess I'd like to pray against the deep state a little bit.
Okay.
More a sense of, Father, we like to cast down all the witchcraft going on in our government with this deep state that's going to hinder anything that's coming up as far as any kind of prosecutions on their side, any kind of justice, Lord. We want to stop it now with obstruction going in the way. Lord, we want to have give the people that are doing the all the research and bringing all these the fact-finding to the courts, not to hinder their process, not to hinder the judges in any way. We also, Lord, like to pray for the man-child, that he not be hindered in any way, that he, when his time comes, that he can be brought forth. The Satan getting in his way, we cast down Satan and any of his minions trying to prevent this from happening. We also cast down Satan that's trying to come against this ministry and its people, and all of us that are trying to come into your image, Father. We want to bind Satan now and tell him he has no authority and dominion in this group or over anybody here. He has thing he's here to do is help train us to fight so we can beat him. That's all he's here to do. And Father, help us to understand that's the battle. Bring us into your wisdom. Train our hands for the wisdom, for the war we need to have in our minds. And we trust totally in you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We just believe with that day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I noticed Debbie Horton put something on the blog, and it's about this guy, Nate Kane. This is, I only read just a portion to get you a general gist of why we need to pray. It says here, he's the guy who released all the financial accounting stuff, RE, the Clinton Foundation. And this is from an Bertrand Daily report or whatever. Nate Kane came forward last year as a whistleblower with damaging documents concerning the Clinton Foundation and Uranium One. The tweet in the Q box below, he is reaching out for prayers as his life and his family's life is in jeopardy as a result of an attempt to shut him down. When he first came forward, the Obama FBI raided his home and arrested him. Q responds to him, send out your prayers and spiritual light to this family. The enemy has awakened and beginning to panic. Pelosi and Schumer have blocked the impeachment proceedings in hopes that Trump will not release the D-class. Fat chance, Nancy. That's all I'm going to read. But so, the Father, we
can
just
you, can you can you spell his last name?
C A I N. Nate Kane.
Okay. Yeah, he needs our prayer.
Yeah. So, Father, we just ask you, Lord, to save this man and his family if they're not Christians already, Lord. They're not believers in you. Save them in a mighty way, Lord. And we just ask you to send forth your angels, Lord, to protect him and his family. And we just pray, Lord, that you would put a boldness in him, that he would continue to do what he's doing, Lord, and not back down. We just command all assassination attempts, any foul play towards him or any of his family or anyone associated with him. We just cast down every plan of the enemy to take him and his family out or anyone associated to him to try and get to him. And just send forth your angels, Lord, in Jesus' name, and protect him and his family in Jesus' name. Is there anything that comes to you to pray or whatever?
Amen. Lord, we just we also just ask for your, that you would expose any kind of attempts on this man's life or anybody around him in the name of Jesus before it happens and put him in jail. And Father, we thank you that there's not going to be any Arkansas going on here with this Nate Kane. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to be able to give his testimony to whomever it needs to be given to. And Lord, that this is going to be the start of something big in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing this for Nate Kane and his family. Just like Missy said, Father, if he's not one of yours, we ask, Father, that we pray that the Lord of Harvest would send somebody to him to, that he would listen and would come to you, Father. We ask that you grant repentance to him, Father, in a mighty way and fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Mercy, I believe it's done. How about you?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray about this D-class. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would just move quickly, send forth your angels to just to line up everything, give wisdom to the people that need the wisdom to know what to do. We just cast down every attempt to hold this D-class up. We cast down every attempt to hold up the RV in the name of Jesus. And we command that your angels go forth and work in Venezuela and in Iran and any other country with the, and even the Brexit and just anything that might be holding it up, Lord, we just We just command everything to line up. Send forth your angels to to work things according to your will, Lord, and quickly, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It looks like this all this stuff is going to happen around the 18th through the 20th. We're looking at that anyway. Praise God.
Michael, what is the D-class? What are they wanting to, what needs to be declassified now? Is that the Mueller report?
No, that's the Pfizer report. Yeah, that's the stuff that Clinton, the Robert Steele dossier, and declassify that and all the things that are involved in it. Matter of fact, he is doing that now. He's declassifying in that stuff now. And the senators are putting it out there too. So Bruce Orr, and his testimony in the Senate Judiciary Committee, has really come up with some great stuff against Clinton and Obama and all of them, actually. So you're going to see, just watch Hannity. Hannity, it's coming on mainstream media now. So that stuff is, God's doing it. Go ahead, Leon.
I saw that they funded Mueller till September.
They who?
The DOJ. William Barr gave him authority to go on till September.
Okay, well, there's probably a reason behind it.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
He's probably got a reason behind it. We've heard QAnon has told us that don't worry about Mueller. Don't worry about him or Sessions or any of those. Things are not as they seem a lot of times. Yeah, Tim, go ahead, bro.
There. As long as we're doing this deep state stuff, I saw right before we came on that Lisa Page's testimony before Congress a few months back, where she said that Comey was wanting to charge Clinton with the violation of the Espionage Act, but DOJ shut him down. And that's out now, just a few minutes ago, I guess. So
really
starting to snowball.
Okay, yeah, things are happening. Prayers are being answered. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And then we got Andrew up there in Canada. He's coming down too. Go ahead, Malcolm. Can't hear you.
Oh, my. I need to unmute myself.
It generally works better when you do that.
Yeah. Actually, can you hear me? No, I'm just kidding. So, you probably already heard that there are at least 38 people charged today, people in high and lofty places that are making good money. With an educational scam. Basically, they're bribing educational authorities and whatnot to get their kids into high places in Yale and other colleges or universities. So anyway, I looked at that and I thought, wow, it's like it's already started or something. But of course, that's just small, 38 change compared to what's coming.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's what we've been praying is that
yeah, 6.6 million bucks in bribery or, that kind of money, bribery money was paid in this scam.
Who are they paying it to? The president of the colleges?
Well, in one case, they had a guy. A lot of these are Hollywood, not a lot of them. Two of them are actresses. And their husbands. But what they did is when their kids sat down to take their exam, they had a kind of a, I guess it was a special room, and they flew out somebody from Tampa who I guess helped them with their exam. And then when they were done, went and corrected the answers. And then subsequently, he was paid $40,000 for that, you know, little endeavor. So, but I mean, a lot of it was trying to get their kids into athletic scholarships and that kind of stuff. And there was a Yale soccer coach that they know received, you know, big bucks. So anyway, it's just a lot of, it's just, I mean, I'm sad to see some of these famous people get, you know, arrested, but on the other hand, it's, we've been praying for this, that, you know, this stuff get start getting exposed. And, you know, we know that this is small change compared to the terrible, horrendous stuff that's being practiced and is probably the folks being indicted. So anyway, it was just, even though it was sad, it made me feel like, you know, it's about time type thing.
Well, my understanding is that most of the kids didn't know about it. That was one place that
I would doubt as a parent, I would tell my kids that I had done something that outrageous, because that would really affect, you know, their morale in school and everything. That's terrible. You know, you think about it, what kind of a parent would do something like that? You know, you see this kind of stuff over, you know, in other countries. It's pretty commonplace, and people, the people that have gotten ahead in some other countries have got, sometimes, not always, I'm not saying always, but in some, I don't want to make real generalized statements, but you know what I'm saying? I just know of a lot of cases where kids who got high scores and passed certain exams that were really difficult to pass, they paid for it, just outright paid for it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's sad to see that in the States, you know, but
that kind of thing has been going on for years. I had a good friend of mine. Well, he was an acquaintance, but back then we were good friends in high school. That his parents paid a guy to stay with him and help him with his all his schoolwork and go in. Got him through college. So that stuff's been going on for quite a while, but not to that extent like you're talking about.
Yeah, these are CEOs, highfalutin people, you know, so that's why it's such big news. And I don't know if they're going to set the bail high enough to keep them in jail, or if they'll have the bail low enough so they can just go free again.
Are you insinuating we don't have highfalutin people in Arkansas? Is that what you're saying? I'm just
Arkansas.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, by the way, we had a massive snowfall last night. It's wet and heavy. So I better get back out there and get sweating again.
Oh, Malcolm, let me tell you about my walk today.
Oh, no, I don't want to hear this.
Just at Fort Loudoun Park, the sun was shining all over me. It felt like Jesus and me was out there walking.
And, oh, my.
Oh, it was so awesome. It was about 65. Okay, y'all take over. I got to get this.
All right. I'm going to get somebody else talk. I'm going to mute myself.
While we're on deep state and politics and stuff, Matt was over for dinner tonight, and something came up on his phone that I think it was just a federal or district court or maybe a state court in Ohio upheld a law there that they have that they passed a couple of years ago, but it's been tied up in the courts about that no government funding can be used to fund Planned Parenthood in the state, and that law was upheld today. So the tide's starting to turn along that line, and I think our prayers are being answered. So we've got to thank you, Lord, for
amen,
prayers and hearing them and moving through people that maybe you normally wouldn't have moved through, and bringing people around, showing them the evil that's going on in this world, and it's time to stop it. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for that.
Okay, it was in the 6th District Federal Court that they passed that, a federal appeals court. So it went through appeals, and it was struck down in the lower court, but they won in the appeals court. And the judge said that they didn't have a constitutional right to do abortions.
That's right.
a great ruling. Very good.
Is which abortion ruling was this?
That was on the Ohio State.
Okay.
In Ohio, they won't give any money to the abortionist. And they said that, or the Planned Parenthood sued them, and a lower court said, no, you got to give them the money. So they appealed it, and it went through the appeals court. It was the 6th District Federal Appeals Court, and the judge ruled, or they ruled, it was a group of them, ruled that Planned Parenthood didn't have a constitutional right to do that, and the state didn't have to give them money. So that was a great ruling. I put that on the blog, by the way.
Amen. Thank you for the victory, Lord.
We yes.
praise you for these babies. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
I hope somebody files a suit against the state of New York and Virginia against yeah.
well. Well, you know, all they got to do is go and arrest those people for murder.
That's right.
It's against the law to murder people, and they're murdering people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it'll probably come to light. It'll probably hit the deal. I hope so. Soon. Very soon. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the Lord.
Amen.
Go for it, Tim. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Did y'all see that little deal that I sent out today or yesterday or whenever it was? About, well, you got to read your emails in order to understand what I'm talking about here. It was, this guy was talking about AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and how she got to be elected, how she got to be picked and then put through the process. She applied, if you didn't see it, she applied for a casting position in the New York paper. And out of 10,000, they picked her. Well, this is the name of the bunch is, Social Democrats or something like that.
Justice Democrats.
Justice Democrats, okay.
Greg told me all about that the weekend I came down, and I thought, oh, interesting.
They had like 12,000 applicants.
Yeah, okay.
And then her brother put her in for it. She didn't even apply. Her brother applied for her.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's how bad this gets.
Yeah. Anyway, they got her in there. And this bunch, and the guy that was Bernie Sanders' campaign manager is her chief of staff. Very radical, far left bunch. And the one who started this little ditty here, that little social justice warriors, the guy on the Young Turks. I can't think of his, I can't pronounce his name. But anyway, he started it, and he's about as far left out there as you can believe. And anyway, it's an evil organization. They're all kinds of leftist anarchist stuff. They want to move out the old guard and move in all of their, and they're putting a lot of money in it. And Soros funded this, has been funding this. Of course, now he has assumed room temperature, what we've heard. Yeah, Joe.
The gentleman you're speaking of, he's a Turkish. Cenk is how you pronounce his name. Uyghur, I guess, is how you pronounce his last name. He's a... you know, like they have the Holocaust deniers out there running around. Oh, the Holocaust never happened, or it never happened, like they said. He denies the Armenian genocide, because that, you know, the country Armenia and Turkey went in and just killed a whole bunch of, I believe, Christians. You know, there was a large number of Christians. They were Armenian, but he supposedly denies that that ever happened. Like the
1.5 million.
Yeah, yeah. So he's involved in that big scam there, you know, just saying all this never happened, or it didn't happen the way that they tell you. So yeah, he's a far leftist, and he's one of the loud ones. That
okay, well let's pray for him. Let's pray against him. Let's pray against that bunch.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, right now we come against that bunch, and we ask, Lord, that you expose this to the general public out there, Lord, that this is a bunch of wacko nut jobs. And Lord, all they want to do is destroy America and destroy the people in America. They don't like anything about America. And Father, it's not the best thing. What you'd want, but Lord, it's a whole lot better than any of the other countries that they come from. And Father, we just thank you for disrupting this, throwing confusion in amongst them and scattering them. And Father, we thank you for that. It looks like this guy is in trouble anyway for campaign finance irregularities. So he may be doing some time in jail, her and Ocasio too. So we'll look and see what happens there.
Let's pray about that too, that's not blocked and that's brought out.
Amen.
Father, anything that might go and on the background to try to squash this from happening and any power struggle going on, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we block that. We want this all coming out in the open. If it's all illegal, we want this brought up and justice to be served. If there's laws out there that were broken and intentionally being broken and people are being enriched by this in a way they shouldn't be, Father, let them go to court and have their day in court. So this all comes out, and if this person doesn't, AOC doesn't belong in Congress, she is the puppet that it sounds like she is. She's just a talking head. Lord, let that come out, and if she has to serve jail time because of some illegal financial irregularities that are clearly marked out there, Lord, let all the people be brought to justice on this. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's try to get off of politics for a while and get on to Jesus. How about that? Let's do that. I got a little something I'd like to show y'all if you'd like to. It's about 10 minutes long. It ain't gonna hurt nobody. Y'all ever heard that song? What a friend we have in Jesus. Y'all ever heard that? Y'all remember that song? I probably did it more justice than it deserves. But anyway, I've got a deal about that song, about the guy who wrote that song. Y'all want to hear that? It's really pretty interesting, and it's kind of a heartbreaker. It'll tug at your heartstrings. Let me get it going here.
In the fourth chapter of John's Gospel.
Wait a minute, that don't look like it. Hang on. I can't get y'all out of the way. Y'all are in the way. Well, what happened to it, for goodness sake? Oh, here it is. Here it is.
This hymn is a tremendous hymn as far as its explanation of who God is. Obviously, the message is there. A true friend. All our needs and sorrows bear. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. He cares. He sustains. I don't know about you, but how many times we fail to really realize what a friend we do have in the Lord.
In the spring of 1844, the hills of Ireland were green. Clouds drifted across painted skies. And for a young Irishman, the future was filled with hope and promise. Joseph Scriven had completed his university education and returned to his home outside of Dublin. He was engaged to his childhood love and soon planned to take her hand in marriage. On the day before their wedding, Scriven's fiancée rode out to meet him along the banks of the River Bonn. In a terrifying instant, her horse was startled and she was thrown headfirst into the rushing waters. Knocked unconscious by the fall, she drowned moments before Scriven arrived.
And they were taking the body out of the water, and he was close enough to look, and he looked into the face of the girl that he was supposed to marry the next day. As he said later, he said, the bottom of my world seemed to just disappear. And he said, no, wherever I looked after that in Ireland, I always was reminded of the wonderful day I had looked forward to that never had occurred.
Emotionally shattered by the death of his love, Joseph Scriven turned to God for consolation and guidance. He decided to leave Ireland, and in 1845 he arrived in Ontario, Canada, where he would spend the rest of his life. Scriven settled near the town of Port Hope on the shores of Lake Ontario. There he committed himself to the ideals of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, devoting his life to helping others in need. Each day he walked these roads assisting widows, the sick, and the poor. It was said that he never once denied a request for help, and that his greatest desire was to reflect the love of God through his life. For nearly 40 years, Joseph Scriven was a living light of charity and faith in this small Canadian town. And for his acts of kindness, he came to be known as the Good Samaritan of Port Hope.
So he devoted his life to love and good deeds for the people of his community there. And they saw him walking down the street carrying a sawhorse and a saw, and someone in the community said, well, there's Joseph Scriven. He's willing to saw wood for anyone. And this particular individual said, boy, I'd like to hire him to do it for me. I'd love to find a sober young man to cut wood for me. And this individual responded, well, you won't get Joseph Scriven, because he only helps the people who cannot pay or have no resources for which to reimburse you. So he really did want to help people out of the goodness of his heart because of God's grace.
Joseph Scriven spent many years tutoring the children of Robert Pengelly, a retired British sea captain. It was in this house that he met and fell in love with Pengelly's niece, Eliza Roche. The
They were to be married in the spring of 1854. Yet only weeks before their wedding, tragedy struck Striven's life for a second time. Eliza Rosh became ill with pneumonia. Despite Joseph's vigilant care, she died at the age of 23. Once again, Scriven was heartbroken by the loss of a woman he loved. And once again, he found strength by turning to a God he looked upon as his closest friend. The following year, he wrote a poem to his mother in Ireland. His words described this extraordinary friendship that had given him purpose and hope in the face of devastating pain.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
In simple yet eloquent language, Joseph Scriven, a man well acquainted with sorrow and loneliness, had defined for the world the essence of a right relationship with God. He saw his Creator not as an impersonal force to be feared, but as a loving Father and friend whose greatest desire is to carry our burdens and ease our pain. For the rest of his life, Scriven would continue to demonstrate his faith throughout Port Hope. And today, more than a century after his death, his profound insights into the true character of God still resound through the legacy of a timeless hymn. Joseph Scriven's poem was first published anonymously. Nearly a decade passed before Scriven revealed to a neighbor and to the rest of the world that he and the Lord had written it together. Today, what a friend we have in Jesus stands among the most beloved hymns ever penned. And outside of Port Hope, a monument commemorates the life and work of a humble, yet remarkable man who trusted God with the deepest burdens of his life and walked with him as his friend.
Amen. All right. Y'all ever heard that before? I hadn't either. I thought that was pretty neat. He never did end up marrying anybody, I don't think. Scared to after a while, you know. Thank you, Lord. Very simple song, but we all know it. That's how profound it was, I guess. All right. Anybody want to talk about something? Anybody got any questions or anything about anything? Not that we all, somebody will have an answer probably. Pat, something you said. I have to go back and review here.
Michael, I just wanted to mention, you were saying something about highfalutin people from Arkansas. You know that President Clinton and Hillary were from Arkansas, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Really?
Well, actually, you're mistaken. Hillary from New Jersey, somewhere up in there, up in the Northeast. But Bill actually was from Hope in the Hot Spring. Yeah, I knew him. Not only that, Sam Walton from Arkansas, too. Matter of fact, one of his first stores, Five and Dime store in the town that I grew up in, Newport, Arkansas. And he lost his lease because his counterpart, we had two Five and Dime stores right on the same corner of the block across from each other. And the guy owned one of them, Sterling, and Walton owned the Five and Dime. And this guy owned both buildings, and as soon as the lease was up, because Walton was giving him such a tough time in his store, competition-wise, that he wouldn't let renew his lease. So that's when he went up and started Walmart. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Leah.
Hillary's from Illinois. I'm sorry. Yeah. From Illinois.
Anything up above the Mason-Dixon line is just, you know, that's foreign country to me. Not really. I'm just kidding, y'all. You know that, don't you?
Hey, she was a Republican. Her parents were Republicans, and she was a Republican before she met Bill.
Yeah, probably so. I don't know.
She was a Goldwater girl, as they say. Yep.
Well, anyway. There's a lot of influential people in Arkansas, if you didn't know. Dillard's, Mr. Dillard, Tyson Foods, they're all from Arkansas. The Hunt Brothers, not the Hunt Brothers, what's their name? Yeah, Hunt.
Koch Brothers?
No, they're from New York. A lot of money in Northwest Arkansas, a lot of money, too much money. Need to spread it out a little bit. Pat, what was it you sent me? That's what I was looking for, is that email. I don't think I ever had a chance to go look at that stuff.
It was a website that I clicked on to. It was actually, I think I was searching Christian beliefs or something, but the name of the website was...
That's okay. It was something you wanted to...
Oh, the Fuel Project.
Okay.
It was the name of it. But I listened to a couple of the tapes. He sets up a format where he teaches about a whole string of things, like on a historical basis, but he does it in 5-minute videos, 4 or 5 minute videos. And I just thought it was an interesting background. The actual segment of the video presentation is the name of it is Know Your Enemy. And he had one video that I thought was pretty interesting about Nimrod and his Nimrod was kind of one of the first kings of the earth. Everybody else was kind of families, and he gained so much stature and conquered other, you know, the neighboring groups and everything, that he kind of created a kingdom, so to speak. And this is back before Babylon and all this sort of thing. But anyway, it gives an interesting historical snippet of Nimrod and then his wife, which has a parallel a little bit later in Jezebel and Ahab. And then he goes through and kind of gives a description of Satan's plan A and Satan's plan B in reference to reference to this Jezebel spirit type of thing. Jezebel spirit is a spirit that tries to dominate, tries to take control of a situation or an authority by first using temptation and that sort of thing, and using I guess you might say the feminine side trait of influence in some form or another, and try to gain control or manipulation in a person's life by that type of influence. And then once that spirit feels it has control, then it moves into more of a domineering type of spirit or type of control. And he just kind of puts it together in a historical fashion there, which I thought was pretty interesting. It was pretty good.
Okay.
I'll post it if someone wants to watch it. I'll post the link to the.
Thank God.
Is that it? I know what you're talking about. I believe that's it. Take a look at there, and you know, so that's what it is.
What are you talking about? Oh, the what you just posted.
Yeah, go ahead, Willie. While I'm trying to figure that out.
All right, I was looking into the black eye thing, you know, and I found something interesting. Can you guys hear me just fine?
Yeah.
All right, and so what I found out from this black eye thing is immediately the thing that came to my mind was the Eye of Horus. Now, in the occult, the Eye of Horus is for protection, royal power, and good health. And, you know, immediately I saw this was an opposite attack, you know, in trying to bring away your protection, your royal power in Christ, and your good health in Christ. And so I don't know why it came into my mind to look up the Eye of Horus. But as soon as you mention the Pope, I know all of these celebrities, they get this black eye thing. And for them, that's what it's supposed to represent from their God. But I was like, wait a minute, let me look this up and see what it, you know, what this thing means. And so what this attack is that's trying to come upon you is against the protection that you have, royal power that you have, and the good health that you have in Christ. And so, you know, it's not a thing to take lightly. That's just what it could mean. I'm not saying that, but I just found that really interesting to look up. In this AOC girl. I end up finding out about her, you know, yesterday before you sent me that video. And I was like, wait a minute, this woman was a bartender? You know, and they just had pictures of her taking care of the bar, you know, passing out drinks. So far from anything political is ridiculous. She was really set up, you know, as a mouthpiece. You know, she had a great advertisement crew, which she abandoned down the road. The advertisement crew was very sketchy on, you know, their how they proceeded with their advertisements with her, how they made her look, you know, how they set up her image before the people. It's very clever, you know, very professional. But yeah, so you're right about her. I just wanted to confirm that that video that you sent, you know, is right about her, you know. And there was another thing. I guess that's it. But I just wanted to share that Eye of Horus thing because I thought it was important, you know, and just to have an idea of what this attack may be related to. Or the black eye may be related to. All right, I'm done.
Okay, I missed all of that. I was on the phone, had an emergency. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, it was good, man. Oh, you missed it and everything.
Oh, man.
Everybody got blessed but you. Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I just have to deal with it.
Michael, you'll have to watch the tape.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Well, we're at
the... Did you want me to say it to you again?
Do what?
Did you want me to just speak it to you again really quick?
No, that's okay. I'll listen to it later on. Was it good? If it wasn't no good, I ain't going to listen to it. But if it's good, I'll listen to it.
It was the best ever.
Oh, my. Okay. No, Willie, I'll listen to it later. That's okay. I'm noting the time now.
All right.
And I can do it later. But I appreciate it, brother.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, Barbara. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How's that baby doing?
She's doing a little bit better, but she's still fevered. They don't understand what's going on. It's 5 days now.
Okay. Has your daughter, is she a Christian?
No, I don't know. She's not walking in it now.
Okay.
I mean, but she's the only one to listen to me. She'll listen to me, but she's not really bearing fruit.
Okay. Well, you have authority because you're her mother, okay? You're Kyle's grandma. So we're going to pray, and that baby's name is, let me think here. Oh, gosh, I forgot.
Josie.
Josie.
Her name's Josie. Jackson's sister, Josie.
Yeah, okay. All right, we lift up Josie to you, Lord, and we thank you that we can come to you for her.
Yes, sir.
And I ask, Lord, that you use this for your glory, Lord. And in the name of Jesus right now, I break the curse that's on that child. The curse of the fever. I command the fever to stop right now. I command the attacks against that child to stop right now in the name of Jesus. I command that body to cool off and be normal. supernaturally in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that Josie is healed. And Lord, they don't know why she was in fever, and now they don't know why it quit. And now Barbara can tell them it was God that did it, because God's people prayed for her tonight and broke that fever, because we have faith to believe that Josie is healed by the stripes of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers her right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And Father, I thank you that baby is healed, and it's going to bring Mama and Daddy to you, Lord, in a mighty way. And Father, I just dedicate that baby to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that baby is going to be a testimony to your grace and your mercy upon their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody believe that? Amen. Amen. I do too. We just praise you, Father, that's what's happening right now in the name of Jesus. Barbara, do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Next time you see her, you said that baby is healed in the name of Jesus. You don't confess nothing else but that.
And that I've been telling her
that. You're going to see a miracle.
Amen. I told her, I said, no matter what you see, we already prayed the prayer of faith, and she's going to recover. Yeah, I told her. Amen.
No, Barbara, she ain't going to recover, honey. She already has been healed. That baby is healed. Ain't going to be. It's already done. It's a done deal. So you tell her that baby's healed. Not she going to be, but she already is healed. That's the faith that God's looking for right there. The other is hope.
Right. Well, now, I believe that it was done at the cross, but I'm talking about manifested, where, you know, Barbara, she'll see it, you know, manifested.
One more time. That baby is healed already. It ain't already going to be manifested. The baby is healed. That's all we want. That baby is healed. We ain't accepting nothing less. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Her confession to her daughter that don't be speaking that negativity to me. That baby's already healed. That baby's all right. And don't you say nothing less than that. In Jesus' name. Amen, Barbara.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Michael. Sister.
Okay. Praise God. Father, we just thank you that you're infusing faith in Barbara right now to testify to the man in front of her that baby's healed. It don't make any difference what they look like, what they're looking at. That baby's healed. In Jesus' name. Well, let me tell you a little story about a lady that her husband called me and wanted me to pray for. He didn't even like me. I can't imagine that, but he didn't even like me. But anyway, he said, the Lord told me to call you. He said, my wife is in the hospital, and they're giving her 6 weeks to live at the most. She has some kind of strange disease. And I told him, well, you believe that God can heal her, or will heal her? He said, oh, yeah, because I knew he did, because he'd been to some of the seminars that I'd been with. Anyway, we prayed the prayer of faith that day, and doctors came in there and told her what they finally told her. You know what she said? She said, I just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I don't accept it, and I'm not going to accept it. And that's the one, you remember the story where I told you that Buddy called me when I was at work, and he said, Michael said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, get somewhere where you can hear me. So I went out in the parking lot, and I'm talking about a rice mill, okay? Men going everywhere. But I went out in the parking lot, and I said, all right, tell me what's going on. He said, I'm looking right at Jesus. I said, what, Buddy? What'd you say? He said, I'm looking at the back of Jesus sitting on the throne. I said, get out of here. He said, I am. I said, I'm in the lobby, but I can see Jesus. And I said, well, what else you see? I said, he's sitting up in his chair, right on the edge of the chair, and he's looking down over, and I can see him looking down, and I can see he's looking down at earth. I said, get out of here, bud. He said, no, this is true. He said, I'm seeing this with my eyes. He said, something else. I said, what's that something else? He said, I can see Jesus smiling from behind him, Michael. I said, get out of here. He said, yeah, I can do that. I don't know how I can do it, but I can do it. I said, I believe you, buddy. I said, what else you see? He said, man, look, look. He said, there's little old lights coming up from earth. Little old bitty beams of light coming up from earth. I said, get out of here, buddy. What is that? He said, it looks like little neon roses or something coming up. He said, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them coming up. I said, really? He said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's all changing. He said, it ain't roses, Michael. He says it's got Marilyn's name on it, neon sign, just a little bitty light coming up there. I said, what's happening? He said, Jesus is taking him up. He got a great big smile on his face. He said he's putting those things in his hands and he's looking at them. Well, what Buddy didn't know, I had talked to a friend of mine that was an intercessor, and she had a bunch of lady friends that she could call on in a heartbeat and start praying. And that's what I called him. As soon as I hung up with Buddy, when he told me about Marilyn, I called her and said, Miss Spencer, you need to get to praying for Marilyn. And she did, they did, and God did. And he called me. He said, I said, what does the throne look like? He said, well, it just looks like just a regular. It's not really ornate. He said, but it's big enough for Jesus. Said he can sit up in it. And said, it's wooden. I said, it looks like maybe like an oak or something. I said, it looks, you know, it's not real ornate, just big, tall back, you know. And he just sitting up on the edge of it, just taking those prayers. That's what it was. That was the prayers of the saints. And he was taking them up in his hand. Guess what happened? 4 or 5 days later, Marilyn walked out of that hospital completely healed. Doctors were scratching their head. I don't know what happened to those tests, but it sure, something went wrong. She told him, no, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. And that man that hated, didn't like me, he and I became the best of friends after that. It wasn't anything I did other than call Miss Spencer. She went to praying. You know, we prayed for her out there in the parking lot. But boy, I tell you what, that experience, out there, the Holy Ghost was all in that parking lot. Anybody come out there that wasn't saved would have been saved right on the spot, I believe. I tell you, that's how strong the Holy Spirit was. It was an awesome time. It really was. Yeah, Joe.
They say Jesus was grabbing the prayers as they're coming up. You're saying there's lights coming up from earth, which were prayers. He's sitting there, okay, grabbing them, okay, getting ready to answer them. Is what you're saying?
No, what I was saying was they were little beams of light. You know?
Yeah.
Like you see that camera on your computer with that green light on it?
Yeah.
Okay, about like that. He said, but. The first time he saw me, he said, look like little roses, little bitty, bitty roses coming up light, you know. And he said, but when it turned to Marilyn's name, said Marilyn's name was in kerchief, you know. Marilyn's name was in kerchief. And said the Lord was just gathering them up, those little light beams in his hands. And he was just sitting there grinning like that, you know.
Prayers to
and
her.
She was okay. Here. She, that was the prayers of the saints.
Yeah.
Beams of light, you know. Oh, it was an awesome time. I wish y'all was there with me when I could see it in my mind's eye as he was telling it to me.
Wow.
I could see Buddy sneaking up behind Jesus. Yeah. It was awesome. But I tell you that because she, Barbara, said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus because the Word of God says I'm healed. And I don't have to put up with that. That's her faith. And that's the way we have to stand in our faith, too. Amen. Lord God, I got goosebumps all over me. I don't know about y'all. I believe I could just float plumb out this thing. Better look out, David. I'll lay hands on you. All right. Anybody else? I say that real quiet. You notice that, didn't you? Our faith has to be staunch. It has to be unwavering. It has to be where we don't believe nothing else but what the Word of God says. in the days ahead, I'm telling you, because the pestilence is already here in North Carolina or South Carolina. I forget which one. It's one of the Carolinas. The Army Rangers brought this virus in from Syria. They were carrying it on them, in them. And it was a virus that the deep state had designed to kill Arabs. Arabs have a different genetic something or other that they can target with some type of biological warfare thing, and they turned it loose and they killed thousands of Arabic people over there in Syria. And but they didn't think that they would catch it. But how many of you know God can do anything? He put it on those Rangers and brought it back with him. Now we've got a rogue general, a general of the Ranger unit that was there. He's gone rogue here just recently. By that, I mean he can't be found. He's running because the deep state controlled him. The last deep state general that went rogue ended up dead. And well, I suspect that they'll probably end up doing this to him too. But this virus got loose. And they've got them quarantined in a Ranger base there in, I believe it's Jackson, South Carolina, somewhere over in that area. But anyway, this already started, folks, pestilence. Don't worry about it. I was telling the guy today, you know, he was all worried about it. Well, he wasn't really worried. He just, what am I supposed to do? I said, well, just believe God. Believe what the Word of God says when this stuff, because some of you may see, you know, literally bodies in the street. You may see that. I'm not trying to put fear on you. I'm just trying to get you to understand that it's God's faith in the Passover that's going to keep us from. Remember John G. Lake during the bubonic plague in South Africa? And they asked him, they said, well, what kept you? Why aren't you wearing all this protective gear? You know, he said, don't need it. I already got it. I got spiritual. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ keeps me from getting all any of that stuff. They were the one, him and another guy was burying all of the bubonic plague victims over there in South Africa about the turn of the century. And he said, they asked him, he said, well, what keeps you alive and everybody else is dying? He said, it's the spirit of life of Jesus Christ in me. That's what it is. They said, well, I don't understand. He said, go get a microscope and I'll show you. They said, bring some live bubonic plague germs from one of the lungs of one of the dead people out there. Bring it, will you? I'll show you what it is. And they put his hand under the microscope and they filled his hand up with some of that stuff that was full of the bubonic plague. Soon as it touched his hand, the bubonic plague virus died. Just as soon as it touched his hand, it died. That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. And we have it. We have it. All we have to do is just believe. If you see dead people in the street, don't worry about it, because God's got you in his hand. And he wants you to be a light out there, helping the people that are still alive. Yeah, Joe.
You know, that thought came to mind about a week ago, and I guess I've had this question before. I've never really understood it. When it comes to repentance, I remember David talked about that, I guess, in a dream somebody had, and you know, there'll be opportunities where people asking you, "How do I, you know, is there any hope for me, or what do I do?" And he said, "Repent." You know, I mean, and I've always heard that. I guess my question, you know, I mean, I had this thought last week, I believe it was, and I was like, is that they repent of what they understand as sin? Because, I mean, there's probably a lot of things they haven't a clue. But I guess, is it the sins that they understand currently, that's what they repent of when you tell them, hey, repent and trust in Jesus? Is that what basically
what Jesus said this? He said, repent and believe.
Yeah.
Repent means change. Quit doing what you was doing before. That's what I always tell them. Quit doing what you was doing before. Start reading the Bible and learning what it is to be a Christian. That's how you repent. And believe is just to believe the promises of God and the commands of God in the Word of God, you know. That's all it means. It's not all this ask Jesus into your heart, you know, as a personal savior and all that kind of stuff. And your ticket's punched and now you're going to heaven. No, it's repent and believe. Every time you read something in the Word of God that you hadn't been doing, repent, change, go ahead and start doing it. And that's just as simple as that. And Jesus said, you're held accountable for what you know.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
What you know, what you, and that's all. That's all you have to worry about.
That's what I was thinking.
You're just as holy as the most mature Christian if you're doing everything you know to do in Christ.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Just as holy. You're not any bigger or any less a person than the most holy person out there, you know. Now, here's the difference. It's faith. The Lord has no, he doesn't, what is it? Gosh, come on, brain, work. He is no respecter of persons. Thank you, Lord. He is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. He is a respecter of faith. And when you've got that faith, you know that you're covered by the blood of Jesus and you don't have to worry about all of that stuff you see out there. And that's the rest that God wants us in. He wants us in that rest with him. Understanding makes no difference to circumstances around you. Makes no, never mind. Not at all. It don't make no never mind whatsoever what's going on around you, because you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's got you in his hand. And when he's got you in your hand, who comes against you? Can't nobody come against you, because that's God. That's God Almighty. When somebody tells you, well, your son did this or your grandson did that, and you've been praying for him, you just say, well, that's not what the Lord told me. I ain't got to put up with that. I ain't going to do it, you know. What's that lady's name? I ain't doing it. But you just tell them. That's the way I always did with Blake. I said, Blake, God's got you called to be a preacher. Now, this kid, this grandson of mine, has died 3 times doing overdoses. 3 times. You tell me that ain't God. Tell me that ain't God. Brought him back to life, slapped him around, put him back in jail, and now he's back on track with the Lord. Praise God. And you know why? Because we believe. He got me out of the picture. He told me last year, he said, now, as long as you're going to be in there helping the boy, said, I'm going to step back and let you do it. Now, has that helped you any? No, sir. Well, then if you'll step back, I'll show you something. And so I stepped back and he started showing me something. That's the rest in the Lord. Don't worry about what you see. No, never worry about what you see, but only what you read in the Word of God. Because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, right? And all we have to do is believe. That's the faith that God's looking for in all of us. Hey, Julie. Okay, I'm through. Anybody else want to talk? Yeah, go ahead, Diane. I'll get you in a minute, Joe and Pat. You want me to unmute you? Oh, you got it.
I got it. Okay. I had to find it on my screen there. The Lord has us covered. He's got us covered. I tell you, a couple weeks ago, I went to the supermarket. And I was going to get some catfish. It was on sale.
Well, you go, girl. That's my favorite dish right there, catfish. Go on.
I saw perch, and my husband really likes perch. So I got the perch, and it was the last they had, a really good deal. And when the butcher gave it to me, I saw on the label it was from China. And I had a little check in my spirit, but I didn't listen, okay? And I took it home. So I'm frying up this fish, and my husband comes up from the basement and says, something smells funny about that fish.
Something smells fishy.
Yeah, something. And you gotta know, my husband's nose doesn't work that well. He's always having me check food. Does this smell good? Is this bad? Is this turning good? Well, he came up and I took the fish and I threw it away. I said, we are not gonna risk getting sick. It smells fishy, we're getting rid of it. But I'm telling you, the Lord had me covered. And I had to repent for not listening to that little check at the supermarket.
Amen. But
the Lord covered us in spite of it. What the enemy meant for evil, I tell you, it turned out good. We ended up going out to eat.
Amen. Look at that. Got you a free meal out of it.
So we got a free meal. But I'm just realizing more and more. I mean, though 1,000 may fall at our right hand, I've had a situation that happened to me 5 years ago, and it was very similar to that. And I went in my bathroom and I just started claiming that, Lord, though 1,000 fall at my right hand, and the situation was cleared up outside my apartment at that time. But He's real. He's real.
Amen.
And no pestilence is going to come near this house.
Amen.
His word says it. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That kind of attitude right there brings the Passover on. That's Amen. The Passover right there.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, Joe.
Certainly, Michael. I just want to boast.
You just muted yourself. Let me unmute you.
Okay, sorry. In St. Luke, you got your Bible, 22 and verse, I think it's 37, when Jesus tell the disciples to buy a sword. Well, why should you think he asked him to sell it cloak and buy a sword? What would the reason be about that? He's got the protection of Jesus' women.
Was that 22?
And 36.
They say 26?
36.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your question about this? You want to know why did he tell him to go out and buy a sword?
Yeah.
Well, that was tongue-in-cheek type stuff. When I sent you forth without a purse and wallet, this is 12:35, and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing, nothing. And he said unto thee, but now, okay, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet, and he that hath none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. For I say unto you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was reckoned with transgressors. That's the transgressors right there. The ones with the swords, the wallets, and all of that stuff. There's no faith there, you see. For that which concerneth me hath fulfillment. Does that make sense?
Let me think about that.
Okay.
Kind of a test too.
Said I was notified yesterday that my oldest brother Mark is now receiving hospice care, has not been eating much the last few weeks, and his health has not been very good for some time. Please pray for my family at this time. Peace, comfort, and a drawing of his spirit. Not sure how soon God will take him home. Okay. All right. Well, let's just pray for him. Lord, let's pray. We pray and we lift up Mark, Julie's brother, to you. Father, I don't know if he's yours, but if he's not, Lord, I ask and I pray that you make it known to him what he needs to do. And Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that he is going to be yours. Julie's been praying for him. I'm sure she has. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever it is, I don't know what the problem is, but Father, you do. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever it is, that you're going to remove all the obstacles out of his way and make a way for him in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that if I don't know, Julie, do you want us to pray for healing for him?
I don't think that's, I don't think that's it. I've been praying that, as a lot of you all, that we have, you know, any loved ones who's not going to be strong enough.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, Father, is he a Christian, Julie?
I know God's been working in his heart. Okay. I've been praying, and God's been doing a work, and I know he's been giving him dreams over the last few years, and I'm believing, yes. Man, I know God loves him.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, Lord, if there's something that he needs to do in order to be with you in this transition here, Father, we ask that you do it. Julie's been praying for him. We believe in household salvation, and we thank you, Lord, that Mark is already committed to you. And, Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you, Lord, that when the time comes, that Julie's going to see him in heaven, because we believe with her that Mark has repented, come to you, and is believing in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for an easy transition for Mark. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if he's suffering, we ask that you go ahead and take him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe it's done. Did I ever tell you about my brother-in-law? Accepted Jesus. Unconscious. Jesus woke me up in the morning, told me to go to Batesville and pray for him. I said, and I had to argue with him. I said, Lord, he didn't want me up there the other day when I wanted to go up there and pray for him. He told me not to come. He said, get up, get your clothes on, go to baseball, pray for your brother-in-law. I said, yes, sir. And so this was about 3 o'clock in the morning. So I went up there, and my sister was up there. And I called her. I said, I'm coming up there. I said, get the nurses out of there. I said, I'm going to come up there, and we're going to pray for him. God's going to save him. I said, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just know it's going to happen. She said, okay. So when I got to the hospital, the Lord told me, right when I saw Alanette, my sister, he said, take her with you. At first, he told me not to take her, just me and husband alone, you know. And then he said, no, take her with you. Well, I'm glad I did, because she came to Jesus too. But anyway, I got in there, and I'm thinking this is not going to look good to Alanette, because she's not used to this kind of stuff, you know. And I prayed for him. I said, Richard, I said, I know you can hear me because the Lord said you could. Now you need to ask the Lord to forgive you and ask him to save you. And something real simple like that, you know. And the glory of God came all over me at that time. This man had run from God his whole life. His whole life. He was a drinker. He was a smoker. He had diabetes. And that he went into a coma, diabetic coma. And he was tired of listening to me. He said, tell him, you know, let me pray for you, Richard. You know, God will heal you if you just believe. You know, he's tired of that. He hung up on me a couple of times. And I believe. And then I told Alnette, Alanette's my younger sister. I told Alanette, I said, Alanette, Lord wants you to come into the kingdom too. You ready? Tears just streaming down her eyes. She said, yeah, I am, Michael. She came to the Lord. He came to the Lord. I did the funeral, and the rest is history. Praise God. I believe that I'm going to see him up there one of these days. Praise God. Okay. But, Julie, that's for you. Mark's, we're going to see Mark up there. I believe it. Everybody here believes it too. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Father. We just praise you, Father, for bringing Mark in. We praise you, Father. We know that the angels are blowing the trumpets right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Ooh, my, my, my. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome, God. Your grace extends so far out there that we can't even imagine. We don't have any kind of comprehension of your grace, Father. I mean, for goodness sake, you saved a guy that had been running for you for 50 years. And you saved him. That to me is grace. I would have given up on me a long time ago, Lord. And I'm so glad you didn't. Praise God. And I know some of you are the same way. Thank you, Lord. Y'all feel the love? Woo! Come, Lord Jesus.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
I'd like us to pray for Alexandria Cortez and her salvation.
All right.
Her deliverance from all that she doesn't realize she's in. So, Father, we lift up Alexandria to you, Lord. Father, we pray for your great mercy, Lord, to extend to her, Father. Lord, I pray that you would, your compassion, Lord, that you would save her, Father, from herself, Lord. Save her from sin, Lord. Cause her to call out to you, Father. We just pray for her salvation, Lord. We pray for her deliverance, God, from what she's in the midst of, that she isn't really comprehending, that control that has got her, God, bound, Lord, and a stronghold on her, God. And I pray, God, that you would just reveal to her, put a fear in her spirit, Lord, and God, cause her to call out to you to deliver her from what she is in, Lord. We ask you to save her, Lord, and deliver her out of this, Lord. God, because yes, you can do anything. Nothing is too difficult for you, and you can somehow take her out of this, Lord. I just pray, God, for her salvation, Lord, and her deliverance, Lord, in this life, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Debbie and Dennis right now, and we believe it's happening, Lord, right now, even as we speak, that she's going to get out of that mess. She's being controlled and don't even know it. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for saving her and making a great evangelistic woman, intercessor, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? Ooh, go ahead, Missy.
Hey, Debbie, can you share what you put on the blog today?
Hey, Angelica. I heard that dog.
Bless you, brother.
Yeah, you too. Did you have a good day?
I did.
Yep, me too. I went down to Fort Loudoun. Beautiful today. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, I'm finding it.
While she's looking for it, this is a word that the Lord has given her over some time, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah, started about 3 weeks ago. He gave me the first part of it, and then it was that I wrote down. and then he was giving me other, speaking other words to me that I felt were really confirmed with some of the last things that David was sharing in his broadcast. And I sort of jotted down what I was receiving out of those too. So this is the word, then the confirmations. So he says, stand up, my people, stand up. Come forth, my people, come forth. Move forward, my people. Move forward in my might and strength of my spirit in you. Look not to your weaknesses. Look only to my strength and power, which is in you. Show yourselves worthy, my people, for I have chosen you, and I have jobs for you to do. Be bold in the authority I have given you. Use it, and know that I have you here on business for me. I think he's stressed the same thing before. He's got business for us for his kingdom. So then I asked for a confirming word in the Bible after Denny said thought I should blog it. I said, okay, Lord, I want a confirming word for this. And I already did share it at the meeting, but and then when I asked him that, I heard in my spirit, be strong, be courageous. So I looked it up, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be ye not dismayed, for Jehovah thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And then I prayed for a random word, and I opened my Bible, and my finger landed on with David in 1 Chronicles 11:13, and the context is 10-14. Now these are they of the mighty men whom David had, who showed themselves strong with him in his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of Jehovah concerning Israel. This is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Jashobeam, the son of a Hakmonite, the chief of the 30. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasdamim. And there the Philistines were gathered together for battle, where was a plot of ground full of barley, and the people fled before the Philistines, and they stood in the midst of the plot and defended it and slew the Philistines. Jehovah saved them by a great victory. That was the scripture. And then I had a prayer. Thank you, Father, for the victories which you have done and which we know that you are bringing and will bring to pass as we stand strong in faith in your promises, staying engaged in the warfare you have given each of us to do. Thank you that you, by your grace, have chosen us, and we thank you for the encouragement you always bring to us, your mighty men, so that we stand strong in your might within us, not seeing the strength of the enemy, but keeping our eyes on you. We know that we can go forth, moving forward, for the ultimate glory you have for your people and your kingdom. Use the weapons you have anointed us to use. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the victorious one, and you have made us worthy by your work in us to fight with you in battle against the powers of darkness, receiving even now the victory. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Good word. Good word. Well, okay, I guess we're about out of time here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for answering all our prayers tonight. I just believe it, Lord. I'm asking you that where we need to send the angels forth, that you send them forth, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to see victories. We're going to keep our eyes focused on you, and we're going to trust you implicitly, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for another good night of fellowship and sharing with one another and praying with one another. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you. I know that our prayers are always answered. We've got an open heaven. And Lord, that's the only way I like it, is to have an open heaven with you. And just like Buddy saw those beams of light coming up, I'm sure that you're seeing the beams of light coming up from Mark and Josie and Zoe and all of those other people that we've prayed for, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you also are capturing them in your hand, sending the angels forth to do the work. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us. Give us a good night's sleep. And, Lord, we're looking forward to another good fellowship on Thursday night. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, all right.